Amen? We're already planning what we're going to have for Easter dinner. And y'all not planning for that? Me and Miss Ola, we're planning. Or Jamie, y'all planning for, yeah. That's the Super Bowl of being saved. And today I'm going to investigate a scripture passage or two. But before I do that, I want to take some time and ask, how many of you here today have what they call a social media page? Anybody here? Okay, quite a few of those, quite a few. As I looked at one of my pages, the Facebook page, in preparation for this, I looked at the number of what could be described as Facebook, as friends. And this number is probably low to some, maybe high to some, I don't know. But I looked at it and I said, 446? Is that low or high? That's high? Huh? Facebook friends, that low or high, 446. In between, about the average, okay. Average, okay. I don't know all them people. Again, for some of you, that number may be extremely high or maybe extremely low. How many here have more than 500 Facebook friends? Raise your hand high. Don't be ashamed now. Just go ahead. Yeah. Okay. So the rest of you who have that page, you have a lower number, huh? Y'all that important. Y'all. On another social media page, it describes how many people are following you and how many people you are following. So I began to ask and wonder, am I really following these people? Am I really friends with these people? Or do I just collect likes? Or do I just have followers to feel loved and noticed? Because watch this, you can get a high off of a like or a comment. Like, ooh. You see, most personal social media pages are set up just to be a faded form of connectivity or to vent some of my frustrations or to let people know that I'm still alive. Now, there's nothing wrong with having a social media page or sharing about your frustrations or about your victories. But please do not get fooled into thinking that it means you are close to others because you have 446 friends. We have been designed and created to be in community. That is why I urge you guys to be a part of our small groups. You need to be a part of one. We're designed, created to be connected. The Lord said it's not good for a man to be alone. And so I challenge you to find one that's convenient for you to attend and get involved. The enemy of our souls has a desire to give us a watered-down version of community and being connected. This watered-down version of community did not start with, do you remember before when we first started hearing about this, at least me, the kids would come to youth on Wednesday night. And Sean, you remember this, because Sean was there, about MySpace. MySpace, MySpace. We thought it from the devil. About the devil. And we get on Sean of the kids, the devil's work. And so, even before MySpace and Facebook, and how many have an Instagram page? Okay, all right, all right. And the kids, when I work at the high school, they would be talking about Snapchat and all that, right? I want you to go with me to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 26. The enemy always wants to give us this false sense of being connected and to foolish and thinking that, you know, we're really connected. I don't know. And while you're getting to that chapter, let me set the scene for you. Jesus here has been betrayed. Everything betrayed. Have you ever been betrayed before? Man. You can't be betrayed by an enemy because you know the enemy. You can only be betrayed by a close friend. Huh? You know the enemy. You know he ain't no good, right? You know folks don't like you. They can't betray you because you know they don't like you. But those who said they like you, your friends, they can betray you. And so Jesus has just been betrayed by Judas. I'm going to talk about him next week. He's been arrested by the temple police under the authority of the high priest. But before we get to that main verse in chapter 26, I do want to look at another verse, and in verse 33, and go to verse 33 with me, 33. And I'm going to read this from the Amplified version. This is verse 33 of Matthew 26. Peter replied to him, watch this, though they all fall away because of you and doubt and disown you, I'll never fall away from you. Me and you to the end. Huh? All right, till the wheels fall off. That's right. We're all the way to the end. See, Jesus had made a statement prior to that saying that all you guys, y'all going to leave me in a little while. And Peter said, no. All the rest of those 11, they may... I got your back, Jesus. Have you ever been the one that has had that word spoken to you or a paraphrase like that? They got you, and then when things get tough, they ain't got you. Yeah. Now let's turn our attention to the first phrase of verse 58, keeping in mind what Peter had said in 33, that I got you, Lord, I got you. Here it is, the first phrase of verse 58 from the Amplified Version. It says this, but Peter followed him at a distance. But Peter followed him at a distance. The word distance means a separation in time or of space. In mathematics, it means the degree or amount of separation between two points, or the length of a race or a contest. It can mean remoteness, coldness, and detachment. This detachment is what many politicians do when one of their colleagues gets caught doing something wrong. They knew beforehand what they were doing and that it was wrong, but only when they were caught do they create distance. They become detached from that person. You've seen it. Back in verse 33, we find Peter being very attached to the Lord. We find him making promises that he would never leave or abandon the Lord. Yet after the Lord's arrest, we find Peter following at a distance. My main point today is to propose to you this question of how close are you? How close are you? In our minds, following at a distance does not mean we have abandoned the Lord. It doesn't mean that we have completely denied the Lord, that we no longer go to church. And if you look at a number of Facebook pages, and this really trips me out, you will notice many people post things about God. Oh, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And the very next day, you will see them post things that are polar opposite of the things of God. I'd be looking like, what? Yesterday you posted, oh, bless the Lord, I'm just blessed. And then you call somebody out their name. You go, come on now. Okay. Yet they would tell you how much they love the Lord. And even many of these same people would never verbally communicate this. But the reason we follow at a distance is because we are not really ready to pay the price to follow him closely. In opening video today, we saw a glimpse into the life of Peter at the time when Jesus was arrested and at this mock trial. Let me say this. There's a price to pay to be close to him, because the worldly system is opposed to him. Anytime you mention his name in the affirmative in a public place, you have to be aware there are a number in that group who won't like what you just said. The word close means a short distance, in close proximity, near at hand, and adjacent. During this Easter season, you will have to make a decision. Not just you, but we, us, whether we want to be close or distant. You see, distant, I still see him. I still see him, but I'm not close. I can still see the Lord. You know, me and the Lord, we know what's going on. You will need to make a decision whether you want to be near at hand or separated, adjacent or detached. You will have to make that decision. And the people will say, well, I just won't come back to the church then. Well, okay, you've made your decision. You don't want to be close, because being close, there's a price you got to pay for being close. Huh? See, when you follow at a distance, it means that you are an observer, not a participant. I'm going to say it again. When you follow at a distance, it means you are an observer and not a participant. See, an observer is one who goes to the game but sits in the stands. I'll go to church, but I only want to observe. Observers can always identify what is wrong. But participants, and you see this in your work life. There's always somebody who can tell you what's wrong with the company, what's wrong with the boss. They can put all the things, that, but they never do anything to try to fix the issue. Huh? Pastor Sam, our pastor here, when I first got here, he would make this comment. If there's an issue and you see it, don't you dare come to me unless you have a solution for it. Don't tell me about all the issues and the problems, but a solution. We all know the problem, right? A lack of this, a lack of that. Okay, that's, how are we going to fix it? Well, I know what the problem is. I do too. How are we going to fix it, though? You see, when you're an observer, that there will always be limitations on what you will do for Christ. You will follow as long as it doesn't cost you too much. I don't know about this fasting stuff. Huh? Fasting. Saints need to fast. Why we got to fast? Not like in the Old Testament. In the Bible days, fasting. See, you will follow as long as you ain't got the fast. You an observer will follow as long as he ain't got to give. Give, oh, wrong with the church now. Go to that church always acting for money. See, you will follow as long as it doesn't take you out of your comfort zone. Screw up your weekends. Put a cramp on your social life. Establish sexual lines you cannot cross. You will follow to get to that point. Because after all, you're just an observer. Observing is all about words. You make people they can talk. They can talk about living right and all that. Being close means that I must pursue him. But to pursue Christ means you are willing to surrender everything, that your only goal is to follow Christ wherever he may call you. It is complete surrender, complete commitment, because you are in pursuit of your Savior. You see, pursuit is all about action. How close do I want to be to Christ? Only you can really answer that question. Only you can answer that question. How close do I want to be? Is where I'm at, and in reference to where Christ is at, the things of God, can I get closer? And only you can decide to draw closer. You see, Christ is in this stationary position, so to speak. And he's done everything already. So if you want to get closer, it means you got to make a move. That you have to let go of some of the things you've been holding on to so that you may get closer to him. But are you willing to pay that price? Only you know. Only you can make that decision. There are benefits, though, to being close to him. And I want to give you three of many benefits there are of being close to him. Here you go. Write this down in your notes. Being close to the Lord allows me to hear him with more clarity. Right? Okay. So, Ken, Finthia, why don't you stand up? Of being close to the Lord is I can hear with more clarity. Here's our problem. We say, I don't know what the Lord's will is because you're so far away.
Give Ken a hand. Thanks, Ken. Because we're so far away, we can't hear what the Lord is saying. The Lord is always talking. We're just not dialed in. When I was growing up, we had these radios with just AM and FM. You remember that? Real days? With a little knob, and we turned right. The station was always playing. But because we weren't dialed in, we couldn't hear it. I want you to know the Lord is always speaking. But because we're not dialed in, we don't hear him. Because we're not close to him. And we want to follow him, but only at a distance. And the drawback with following at a distance is I do not hear him clearly. And when I do not hear him clearly, I'm more prone to make fatal mistakes. I don't hear him. We make decisions in our relationships, right? We don't hear the Lord saying, no, don't do that. Because we're so far away. But as we get closer to him, we can hear him more clearly. Oh, the Lord says, no. I can't date you. I'm sorry. When you're close to him, you can hear him clearly even in your prayer time. You can hear the Lord saying, when you fast and pray and draw close to him, you can hear the Lord clearly what he's telling you to do or not to do. But when there is this huge distance, you don't hear him as well. And you're prone to make mistakes. Huh? Number two. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5. I always say this is my favorite verse, but I got so many favorite verses. But Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1. Number 2 says this. Being close to the Lord allows me to better reflect the image of God to those around me. Ephesians 5:1 says this, therefore become imitators of God. Amplified says, copy him and follow his example as well-beloved children imitate their father. Being close to the Lord allows me to better reflect the image of God to those around me. Yes, yes, yes. And so as I'm close to him, I start to reflect his image. Now go with me to Exodus chapter 34. Exodus 34. And give you an example. Exodus 34. We'll start at verse 29. Exodus 34 and verse 29. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Wow, you guys are good. Here we go. When Moses came down from the Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, he did not know that the skin of his face was shining with a unique radiance. Watch this. Because he had been speaking with God. Because of his closeness with the Lord, his face radiated, was shining. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to approach him. Wow. But Moses called to them, and Aaron, all the leaders of the congregation, returned to him, and he spoke to them. After which, all the Israelites approached him, and he commanded them to do everything the Lord had said to him on Mount Sinai. When Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face because his face was shining. He had been in the presence of the Lord. Once again, when you're close to the Lord, you are able to better reflect the image of God to those around you. Watch this. The Bible tells us in Acts chapter 2 that you go to Jerusalem, be filled with the Spirit, and you'll be witnesses. He did not say you have to witness. Listen to this. He did not say you have to witness. He said you will be witnesses, meaning this. If you get close to God, there's this glow, there's something about you that the unsaved will see and notice. You don't have to be on the street corner. Your life will demonstrate the presence of God because I'm close to Him. And His glory shines on me. And part of that glory you see on me when you pass me by is what I say, how I say it. Listen, you can say the right things the wrong way. Huh? You can say the right thing with the wrong facial expression. But when you're close to God, you begin to say things the right way, the right things with the right facial expression. Amen? Glory to God, because you're close to Him. Our challenge today is, it's not that we're no longer following the Lord, but man, there's a huge distance. And what we want to do is we want to shorten that distance up, right? So we can better reflect His image to the unsaved, because listen, there are folks around us dying, going to hell all the time. And we're fighting over crazy, silly things. Well, you got to be baptized in Jesus' name only. Well, no, you got to be sprinkled. Are you serious? Well, you know, you got to wear this, you come to church. Come on now. Just get them here. Amen? Well, look at the way they're dressed. Okay, they got some clothes on. Just let them come in. Glory to God. Goodness. Number three. When I draw close to Him, what's this? I begin to recognize my inabilities and His abilities. When I draw close to Him, I begin to recognize my inabilities and His abilities. I also begin to recognize my position. Now go with me to John chapter 3 and verse 30. John the Baptist, he had this down pat. He understood it. When I'm close to Him, I begin to recognize my position. John chapter 3, verse 30. John chapter 3 and verse 30. And it says here, it says, John the Baptist said, he said this, He must increase, but I must decrease. Meaning this, my position now is I'm here, the Lord's here. Where are you? Here. Where's the Lord? Here. We don't get it. Where are we at? Where's He at? We don't get it. All right, Demetrius, get up and bring a chair. Put a chair right there. Put a chair right there. Yeah, put it right here, right there. All right, sit in that chair. I'm going to play the Lord. All right, he's going to play just a regular old saint, right, Christian? This chair right here, that is the throne to His life. What's the issue? He's on the throne. And the Lord is too much of a gentleman to tell Him, get out of my seat. The Lord will allow Him to sit on the seat of His throne of His life, till He wrecks His life. The Lord will walk by, you know, periodically. And Demetrius will look at the Lord and still not get up. That's us wanting to run our own life, to be in charge, to be in control, knowing full well this is the Lord's seat, but unwilling to get up and allow the Lord to take the rightful place because he don't want to be close to the Lord. He wants to run his own life. And again, the Lord is too much of a gentleman to demand him to get up, even if it means he will wreck his own life. Because he has the power to choose whether or not he wants to be close or distant, to live in obedience or disobedience. And all of us have to think about, am I sitting in the seat that belongs to the Lord? And if so, we need to get up. Amen? And allow the Lord to be in charge of our lives. Give Demetrius a hand, everyone. When I get myself up off of the throne and allow him to take his rightful position, his rightful place on the throne of my life, when that happens, I go lower, he goes higher. When he goes higher, John 12:32 comes into play. Go with me to John chapter 12, verse 32. And John, I want you to get ready too. John chapter 12 and verse 32. John chapter 12, verse 32. Yes. Yeah. Do you have it? Okay. It says something like this. And if I be lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto myself. When I lower my position and I raise him up to his rightful position, he says, I will then begin to draw men. Because it has been opposite, he's not drawn men like he wants to because we have refused to place him on the throne of our lives. And people have seen us and not him. One of our daily prayers has to be giving God right permission, I'll say it that way, to live his life through us. So that when people see us, who would they see? Right. We have to decide that we're no longer going to fight or rebel against him being on the throne. Stop fighting the Lord. Allow him to run and rule your life. Amen? Now, John, come up here, John. Grab a mic. I've asked John to join me because a few days ago I was on Facebook and I saw a video of you, and so I just let me listen to what he had to say, and you were talking about worship and our posture, and condense it for me, share with me.
Pretty much, I was saying that in this day and age, it feels like we forgot what worship is, you know, like what worship is, how worship, what's the benefit of worship, and then I described worship as not just singing slow songs in church services. But worship is actually the lowering of ourselves and the elevating of him. It's when we bow down and there ceases to be any competition or resistance against his will, and nothing's left but adoration towards him.
And that is a lifestyle. It's not just a church service, right? So when we draw close to the Lord, no one has to prompt you or prod you to raise your hands, sing glory, shout whatever, right? It's something in you, right, when you're close to him and begin to recognize his position and your position, like, man, he's the king. and I'm not. Amen? He is the king. I'm not. You got it? He is the king. We're not. Get up off the throne. Amen? That lifestyle then is a lifestyle of worship. And then when we come in our gatherings here, man, it's off the chain. Amen? Thank you, John. So, in the book of John, Jesus, and we're going to close, Jesus has this conversation with this unnamed woman. She's from Samaria. John captures this in John chapter 4. Go with me there. John chapter 4. Yes. And so the scene is this. And yeah, that song you're going to play. The scene is this. The disciples have gone to get some food. They've been walking along all day. The disciples are going to town to get some food. Jesus left there at the well. They've got this woman who comes at the heat of the day, right, which you don't normally do, but she don't want to deal with all the because she's a woman that's, she's a sinner. And the rest of the women who came to get water, they were not. They were righteous. So she comes and Jesus sees her, and Jesus begins to interact with her in this conversation. And she says some things, and, "Sir, you must be a prophet," and that she talks about our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And Jesus said to her in verse 21, Jesus replied, "Woman, believe me, a time is coming when God's kingdom comes and when you will worship the Father, neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem." We as we get close to him, the location of our worship doesn't matter. When we're close to him, the location of our worship doesn't matter. It doesn't need to be at 1175 Church Street. It can be when you get up in the morning and go to the bathroom and realize I'm still here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. As you begin to look at your past life and you realize that he's brought you from man, dang. And now you look at yourself and you realize, man, it doesn't matter. The location doesn't matter. Whether the mountain in Jerusalem, 1175 Church Street, at your home, at Safeway. You go in the Safeway aisle 17 and there's the macaronis and everything. And you realize, I can now buy them because God has blessed me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you pick up that box of macaroni and you begin, "Yeah, Lord, thank you. I can buy a box." Because you remember a time when you had to decide between the macaroni or the cheese. I don't know. What do I do? Do I buy the macaroni or do I buy the cheese? But God has so blessed you. Hallelujah. That now you can buy both. Hallelujah. I'm drawing closer to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Listen, it doesn't matter whether this mountain or in Jerusalem or Bethlehem." He said, "You Samaritans do not know what you worship. We Jews do know what we worship, for salvation is from the Jews." But then he said this in verse 23, "But a time is coming." To your neighbor, it's coming. It's coming. And in fact, it's already here. Huh. then it was coming, but now it's already here. Says a time is coming, and it's already here. Watch this. When the true worshipers, I wonder, do we have any true worshipers who's not limited by space or time, not constricted by where you are at? Glory to God. Where they're at a bus stop, train stop, airport. And when you sense, listen, I wouldn't serve a God that didn't feel sometimes. Huh? I know we walk by faith and not by sight, not by feeling, but there's sometimes you got to feel some. The old saints would call it a quickening. Ooh. And I remember my mother would get a quickening. At the most inopportune times, I would think in my mind, God, Mama, don't do it here. We're not at church. Don't do it here. We were my friends. But I can only imagine she thought about the goodness of God. Hallelujah. My God. It says, when the true worshipers will worship the Father. What's this? And spirit means this. From the heart. The inner self. Not because of songs being played. Huh? But from the heart. And in truth. Watch this. This is what I like. He said, for the Father seeks such people to be his worshipers. Meaning this, the Father's looking all over earth. Every church on a Sunday morning, 1175 Church Street, military, whatever, he looking, is there a true worshiper in that house? And he's looking. He says, the Bible says he's seeking someone who will not be limited by space or time or even situation and begin to worship him. I ain't got the macaroni and I ain't got the cheese, but God, you're still good. Hallelujah. I thought I'd be able to buy a house by now, but I'm still renting, but God, you're still good. Hallelujah. God, you know that boss drives me insane. But you're still good. Hallelujah. Yes. Yeah, James, though you're sick, what the world has said, with cancer, God is still good. Amen. God is still good. Yes, God is still good. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. My God. So this, Paul said, I sought the Lord three times to deliver me. And the Lord said, apparently, no. But he said this, my grace is sufficient. Sometimes you have to live with the thorn. Sometimes you'll have to live with the thorn. And God is looking for someone who will worship him in spite of the thorns. All right, begin to sing that song and stand to your feet, everyone, and we're going to get out of here. Hallelujah. That's what we do. That's what we do. Yes, we do.
We lay down.
Yes.
We kneel down. Yeah. Prostrate fall, yielding all.
this is what we do. This is what we do. We bow before the King. We recognize his place and our place. He's the King. I am not. Huh? He deserves the worship. I do not. And so I lay myself before him. Now I'm going to challenge you. There may be some here today who are following him at a distance. You haven't backslid. No. You haven't abandoned the Lord. But man, there's some distance. And while John is singing, if that's you, I want you to just join me here at this altar. Because we're going to pray while he's singing. If you want to come, we're going to pray. Come sing, son. Come on.
We bow down.
That's what you're doing. Yeah. And you come to the altar, you're bowing down. Yes.
We kneel down.
Yay!
Prostrate for
Yes. Yes.
Faces down.
Yes.
We bow down.
Yes.
Prostrate for building on. Faces down. We bow down. Prostrate for building on. Faces down.
And today, as you demonstrated courage to come out of your seat, to come down to this altar, what you're telling the devil is, you will no longer keep me bound. Huh? No. Because I'm going to be one of the true worshipers who worship him in spirit and in truth. While you're still coming, yes. Yes. We ready? Here we go. Father, we're gathered here at this altar because we're tired of following you at a distance. It seems like I got here so easy. I don't know what happened. I was on fire one day, and next thing you know, I'm distant. I don't sense you. But I thank you that you have sought for me, because your word said that you are seeking for those who will worship you in spirit and truth. And so, Lord, here we are. One of your true worshipers. And in our spirits, God, we bow before you. We recognize our place. We acknowledge your lordship over our lives. Yes, Lord, yes. And so symbolically, God, we get up off of the seat of the throne and allow you to take your rightful place. I pray, God, that you would do in us only what you can do. That you would ignite us. Yes. That you would literally transform us. That you would call us into this new nature of yours. And this is our promise to you. And all of you here at this altar who came because you want to be close, I want you to tell the Lord, I want you to open your mouth and tell the Lord this. Say, Lord, I will no longer fight you nor rebel against you. I allow you to sit on the seat of the throne of my life. Yes, Lord. Father, you heard their prayer. You heard their statement, oh God. And what they've said in words, God, that you are cementing it in their spirits, and they will no longer be the same. I pray, God, that you give them a hunger like they never had it before. Yes, yes. Increase their hunger for you and the things of God. Yes, I hear you, Lord. Yes, God, give them a distaste for the ungodly things of the world. Give them a distaste for the thing that are on the fringes of being right or wrong. Hallelujah. God, let your word be in them like it was in Jeremiah, a fire. Hallelujah. Fire. Fire. Shut up in their bones, I pray. Yes. Yes. I pray this. Your life is different. Your life is transformed. You're not going to be the same. Not going to be the same. When the enemy tries to tell you that it meant nothing, you're going to tell him, no, it meant something. I'm different. I'm changed. I'm different. I'm changed. I'm different. And I'm changed. Yeah. I'm different. And I'm changed. Hallelujah. Yes, 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 yes. Sing.
I want to be just where
yes.
you are.
Now just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord right now. Just you and the Lord. Just you and the Lord.
Yes.
Yes, you and the Lord. Yes, you and the Lord.
I can see you face.
Yes, you and the Lord.
Cause there's no place yes. I'd rather be than close to you.
Sing it again, John. And Velma, you get ready. Hallelujah. Yes.
I want to be
yes.
close to you.
That's your song to the Lord. That's your song to the Lord.
I want to be just where
yes.
you are.
That's your song. That's your cry. That's your cry. That's your cry.
That's your cry. Secret.
Yes.
Where I can see you face to face.
Yes.
Cause there's no place that I'd rather be than close to you.
My God. Yeba kota selebe kota. Yebe lokobo lakata salakata. Debe. That's your prayer. 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 Yes, that's your prayer. Yes, he's doing it in you. I sense it. He's doing it in you. Hallelujah. He's doing a work in your life. Yes, you sense it too. You sense it too. Hallelujah. Sing it one more time, John. One more time, John. Hey. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes.
I want to be.
Yes, 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 yes.
Close to you. I want to be just where you are. In that secret place where I can see you face. There's no place I'd rather be.
Want to be close to a God like this. He loves us so much and he continues to draw us. He's the one that's coming after us. And yet we have nothing to offer but ourselves. Thank you, Lord, for another chance, another day to draw close unto him. He said if we seek him with our whole heart, we will find him. And he wants to be in that place where we are found, where he's found of us. So we thank you, Lord, for this time in your presence. And we thank you for your word, oh God. We thank you for the anointing that's in this place today, oh God. We know that your spirit is hovering over us. And we accept it, Lord. We believe it, Lord. We receive your forgiveness. We receive your strength. And we pray, oh God, that as we go from this place, we will carry this message with us. We will carry your Holy Spirit's anointing right now, Father, not only for ourselves, but for our families, for the people that we meet along the way, for our neighbor that we don't even speak to, Lord. Give us a heart like yours so that we can reach out, oh God, and let our light shine and people can come to know this wonderful Savior. Who's coming again, and he's coming soon, and we want to be ready. Thank you, Lord. We give you the praise, oh God, as we dismiss, Lord, as we leave this place. May we not leave your presence, oh God, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' precious name, amen.